Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
For today, I'm going to be diving into one of the things that I explore so much with many of my clients. And this is around how can we be more conscious and connected? Now, this consciousness and connection goes in so many different avenues. One is being connected with our mind, our emotions, and our body, having all of those in alignment. Sometimes people are more mental, they're more emotional, they're more kinesthetic. And while we can go more into one direction, bringing all of them in and hearing the insights and the intuition and having them work together is a really powerful experience for us to be able to develop this resiliency and to be able to flow more with life. And so I'm going to be speaking about how we can bring all of those into alignment in this lecture. And then also of bringing what is existing in our unconscious to the conscious. Much of how we are navigating our life is as we're reacting to that which is in the unconscious. And as we dive in into the body and into the mind, and we take an inventory of our life, we're able to bring these things from the unconscious to our awareness, and then we are able to actually work with them. If we can't see them or feel them, then we have a hard time to be able to heal because we're not really sure what it is that we're dealing with. So for that, as I said, I'm going to be talking about the emotions and feeling the emotions and also working with the thoughts and questioning our thoughts. There is a debate around these two that is kind of like the chicken and the egg, which came first. And so some people feel that our emotions cause our thoughts. And then there's others that think our thoughts cause our emotions. And I'm curious to hear and to get some reflection back from all of you, which one do you think causes the other? Do thoughts cause emotions or do emotions cause thoughts? So if you can type your opinion in the chat, that'd be great. It'll give me an idea of seeing where it is that you're coming from and what your orientation is in this moment. Okay, so Roz says both. That's exactly the direction that I'm going to be going in with this. So the thing here is that it probably goes both ways, hence the monkey mind. Yes, very much so. And there is this intricate loop between our emotions and our thoughts that they are feeding each other. They're dancing together in many ways, which can sometimes get us stuck in this loop, but it's also our way out when we acknowledge the impact of the emotions and also of our thoughts because they are reinforcing each other. Now there's to just take a moment to talk about each of these philosophies of which one is causing the other. There are some believe that we have repressed emotions and that all of these emotions that are existing inside of us and that haven't been processed and haven't been felt, digested, that they are creating our thoughts. And that if we go within and we feel the emotion, then we're no longer going to be producing thoughts and stories that will be an outlet, a way which we can vent to process these repressed emotions. This comes as a result of us having a lot of repressed emotions. We were not taught as kids, most people were not taught as kids in how to be with our emotions. If anything, we were taught to run from them, to suppress them because they weren't acceptable or they got us in trouble or you shouldn't feel that. There was a lot of invalidation that happened. because a lot of people don't know how to be with their emotions, they're not able to be there for other people in their emotional experience. And therefore, we have repressed emotions. And so if you take teachers like David Hawkins, who wrote a brilliant book called Letting Go, it's one of the prerequisites that I have for my month-long training, because it is such a brilliant teachings around how to work with our emotions in a way that is bringing forth more consciousness and clarity, and really bringing the spiritual path and practice and integrate it into the daily life. And he'll talk about how when we have these repressed emotions, we are then inviting and attracting people, circumstances, situations that will allow for us to vent these emotions. So if you've got a lot of pride inside, then you will probably be attracting insults and criticisms into your life. If you've got a lot of grief that you haven't felt and experienced, then you will be having people and circumstances and situations that will bring forth that kind of sadness. If you've got a lot of anger that you haven't processed, then you're going to constantly having people and circumstances come into your life that are frustrating or infuriating. So understanding this, then you want to go within and to feel the emotion so that the thoughts are then no longer coming out as ways to express and process that emotion. Now, the other side is that thoughts cause the emotion. So people more like Byron Katie will take this approach, that behind every emotion that we have, that there is a thought, there's a belief. And if we question the belief, then the emotion will start to shift. And if we start to change our perspective, then we will be able to change the way in which we are experiencing the world, as well as how we feel. So both of these sides are what I'm going to talk to in this lecture. And as I said, there's a lot of stuff that can also happen below our conscious awareness. And being able to get into those places will bring us to even deeper healing. So oftentimes I'll hear people who have been on the path for a while where they get frustrated and they're like, why am I going through this again? And our growth is not a linear process. So if you find yourself saying that and getting frustrated around continuing to repeat that same pattern, even when you've done a lot of work on it and made a lot of progress, I encourage you to see it from the perspective that you're just going to deeper and deeper layers of it. And as you do that, then you're able to go through more awareness and more connection within yourself, with your little s self connected with the big self, the more divine, transcendent aspect. Now, to go into all of this, we want to do it with a practice of mindfulness, mindfulness of our emotions and mindfulness of our thoughts. And practicing mindfulness is something that can benefit every aspect of your life. It can improve your overall life. It helps us to be able to regulate our emotions, to be able to be resilient in our emotions. It helps us to have more clarity in our mind, to focus, to be present. Our empathic skills with ourselves and with others are greatly improved. It helps to decrease the pain in our body. It helps to have a better sex life. So bringing in practices of mindfulness is something that can really help us. And I'm going to speak about two different ways of how we can do that. So before I start going into the feelings, how to work with the feelings, and then how to work with the thoughts, I want to first talk about the importance of separating the two. Very often when we ask somebody, how do you feel? We will go into a story rather than speaking about an emotion of what it is that we're experiencing. So we want to be able to separate our emotions from the thoughts, from the perceptions, from the stories, our interpretations of what it is that's going on. And this is something that really takes an awareness. It's helpful if you can develop an emotional vocabulary. However, when I have looked at different emotion lists that exist out there on the internet, a lot of those emotional vocabulary lists have stories in where there's emotion. So one way, one little rule of thumb that is often helpful, not 100%, is that if you say a feeling and it ends with ED, so I feel abandoned, I feel rejected, I feel neglected, you are not in an emotion. This is a story. This is something that's happening to you. And so that's one way to try to help navigate the emotion from the story. I hope to get something up on my website where people can have a reference of like really isolating what are the emotions and the stories. So when that goes up, I will be announcing it on Instagram and then you can dive in and have it. I often have my clients have their emotion wheels that are on their desk, in their wallet, in their back pocket, always having it with them. So when they feel something, they can bring out their emotion wheel and develop an emotion vocabulary, become more aware and attuned of what it is that's actually an emotion. And that's something that I would recommend a lot of you to do. Currently, I really like Gottman Institute's emotion wheel. I think they've done a really good job of being able to call forth a lot of the emotions and not get too lost into stories. So that's one reference point that you can have for this. So now let's talk about how to feel our feelings. So when we do identify an emotion, then we want to experience it in the body. Now, sometimes people are aware of the emotion and then other times they're aware of the body sensation. Whichever one it is that you're aware of, then go there. So if you're aware of the emotion, then I encourage you to look to see where that emotion exists in the body. And if you're aware of the body sensation, then I encourage you to go within the body and see what emotion is associated with it. And in this way, we're able to then be able to process our emotion. So to be able to be present with the emotion, which is something that I will tell my clients to do. And then they're like, well, how do I do that? One of the most common questions that I have, and it's a very simple process, yet I think because it's so simple that people don't get it, they don't trust it, they don't think that it's actually going to work as powerfully as it does. And the other thing that gets in the way is that when we go into the body to feel the emotion, to experience it in the kinesthetic level, oftentimes our practice of doing this is not very well tuned. So we say, okay, I have a pit in my stomach, or there's numbness, and then people don't go further into that. So when we have an experience of numbness or emptiness, those are sensations. And to start to develop our vocabulary to be able and our awareness to be able to describe these sensations. So this is something that I want to take you through right now. Is an experience of being able to go in to find a sensation and then to really explore it in depth and detail. And so we're going to take a pause on the lecture and to be able to go within. If you want to do it with your eyes open or closed, do whatever it is that supports you best to be able to go inwards and creates a safe and comforting atmosphere for you. So in that, you go within the body and just start to explore your core region, moving your awareness. And as you come across a sensation, acknowledge it. And then start to move elsewhere. What else is there? Sometimes you might be feeling something really strong and intense, and it's overwhelming even. And other times it's going to be really subtle. Exploring what's going on in your body. And now when you find a sensation, tune in your awareness to that one sensation. Where is it located in your body? I'm going to ask you several different questions, and this is going to help you to get more tuned in to that size, to the sensation. So my next question is, what's the size of it? Is it small? Is it really big? Does it have a shape? Is it flat? Is it a circle? Is it a blob? Does it have a weight? Is it light or heavy? Is it moving or is it still? And if it's moving, how is it moving? Is there contraction? Is there expansion? Is it moving upwards or downwards? Is it erratic? Is it in a spiral or a circular motion? What is the speed of how it's moving? Is it fast? Is it slow? Or is it still? Does it have a texture? Is it rough or is it smooth? Is it silky? Does it have a temperature? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is it fiery? Is it burning? Does it feel like it's connected to a certain element, whether earth or fire or air or water? Does it carry any of those energies? Does it have a color? Is there any sound associated with it? Is there a buzzing or a singing? Does it have a taste or a smell? Is it sweet or sour? And can also explore different feeling sensations in it. So is there a certain pressure? Is it even or is it uneven? Does it feel supportive or does it feel crushing? Is there an air current? So is it gentle? Is it warm? Is it cool? Do you feel like things are coming from the right or from the left? Is it stimulating? Is there a tension? Is there pain? If there's pain, is it sharp or is it aching? Or is there a stabbing or is it just a slight pain? And if there's tingling, which is often a word that I'll hear, is it pricks? Is it vibration? Is it tickling? Or is it more kind of a numbness of the tingling? So these are all questions and details that you can ask yourself to go within and to get in touch with that emotion as it's being experienced in the physical body. And it is this exact practice of how you are present with your emotions, of how you feel your feelings. So when you're going through something really challenging and you don't know how to manage it, go within the body, get in touch with that body sensation. And you want to go into it without an agenda. I want to make this go away, but simply be present. No judging, no trying to change it. You're welcoming it. You're allowing it. You're accepting it exactly as it is. And through this mindfulness practice, you will notice that often things will shift. Perhaps they already shifted just in how you were going through this meditation right now. It's also a really good way to ground ourselves. If we're feeling overwhelmed and there's a lot of anxiety or there's panic, then to be able to go into the body is a way of how we get out of the mind and we land in the present moment. And in this, you are holding yourself in a way that you weren't held as a kid. And you're learning to be able to be present with that emotion instead of running, numbing, distracting, but to be able to be there, to feel it, to process it, to digest it, so none of it needs to get suppressed. And this is how we process our emotions. So I'll open it up for any questions, if there are any, around the emotion part before I move into how to work with the thoughts. Do we have any questions? So Ella shared, I found that I didn't enjoy focusing on the feeling for so long, but afterwards I feel some relief. Yeah. And with this, I went through a lot of different descriptive qualities to it. And by no means do you need to sit in it for that long. Whatever you feel that you need to, these were there to help you to have ideas of how to navigate. As I said, a lot of times when I work with people and they'd go into the body, they'll often come up with stories more so than a physical sensation. And then these are ways of how I help people to really land in through the body. And I can put this description, I'll put it up on my website at some point in the next week if you found that having these qualities were helpful to be able to investigate and inquire into. Okay. So if there's no questions around how to navigate more with the emotions, then I will continue. So I see that my website just went up. This list isn't there yet, but it will be in the next couple of days. So you can just take note to go there. And when I do put it up, I can announce it on Instagram that it's there to drive your attention of when to go. So you don't have to keep checking. Okay. Was the original prompt to find a sensation or an emotion in the body? I'm going to approach that question from the place of that they're one and the same. That our emotions are an expression of the physical body, and that we find our emotions and we're present with the emotion by going into the body. And so whichever one it is that you're in touch with, if you're in touch with the physical sensation, then to go in and feel that sensation. And then I will often ask myself, what emotion is connected with this physical sensation? Or I will, if I'm attuned to the emotion, so I'm aware that I'm angry, then I go, okay, where does that anger exist in the body? That these are, they're so closely connected. And so to be able to work with them in one and the same way, and that I process my emotion by being attuned and in touch with the physical sensations of how I experience it in my body. Great question. Thank you, Amanda. Okay. When doing this, should we focus on one specific sensation or all of the different sensations that are there at the same time? Okay, great question. I would say to take one at a time. In the beginning, I will go around and I explore, okay, what sensation is there? What else is there? So I will do a general scan and then I will focus in on one sensation and it's going to change. It's not going to stay the same. It might morph into another one or another sensation will become more present. So to be aware and then to go within, and if another one takes your attention, then you can go there and look at that. There's different ways to go deeper into these sensations and to go into the intuitiveness of them, of asking them questions, working with the focusing technique. So tuning into the felt sense. Also Gabor Mate in Compassionate Inquiry has a brilliant way of going deeper into the sensation. So I would say be attuned to whatever is calling your attention in that moment. And then if you go off to another sensation, to later loop back around and to see what was going on with that other sensation that you had started with and to observe how things are shifting and changing. It's really helpful to notice what we start with and how it shifts and change. So often in my coaching sessions, when we work with a sensation and then we'll go off into another direction, whether it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or even an hour later at the end of the session, I'll loop back around and say, okay, what's going on in your throat now? And to see if there has been an adjustment. And I would say always, but let's just go with almost always there has been. Okay. Thank you for your questions. I'm going to move on now on how to work with the thoughts. So we've spoke before about how emotions cause thoughts. And now we're going to go into the theory around how thoughts cause emotions. And I would say that for me, I don't take one side or the other, that, you know, the chicken and the egg, they're both there. And it's important to work with both. If we just work with one, I think we're not going to the full completion of where we can be in our healing process. And so to be able to be aware of the thoughts and the stories and to feel the emotions is what is going to bring about lasting transformation and healing. So for the thoughts, this idea that our thoughts cause our emotions and that behind every emotion that we experience, there is a thought or there's a belief that is propelling us to feel that way. One of the best teachers that I've come across for working in this direction is Byron Katie. And she has developed a method called The Work, which I think is one of the most transformative and effective tools that I have come across in all of my studies and years of practice in psychology and spirituality. And so on. And so the work is a method of inquiry where we take a thought, we take a belief that we have, and we run it through the four questions and the turnarounds. And this is something that I have an online course. It's for free. It's on my website. You can go and learn extensively this method. For now, what I'm going to do, rather than trying to break it down in 15 minutes and teach it to you, I'd rather give you an experience of it. So for that, we're going to be working with the thought, I'm not good enough. And this is something that I think is the most universal core wound that people have. And I'd like for you to find a moment, find a specific moment in your life where you had the thought, I'm not good enough. Now, when we do the work, it's really helpful when we land in a specific moment in time, because the work is a meditation. And that specific moment in time is going to hold your mind and it's going to hold your ego as you go through this inquiry. So I'm going to just give you a moment to identify that specific moment in time. If it was, oh, I didn't feel good enough in my last relationship and it lasted for 5 years, then I want you to find one moment in that relationship that you can meditate upon. Or if you generally don't feel good enough at work and that's provoking for you and you've been there for now 6 months, it's a new job, then go into one moment at work where you were not feeling good enough. So landing in that specific moment in time. Now, as we go through this, again, you can keep your eyes open or closed, whatever feels best for you. This is the place where we're going to ask the questions from the mind. I will be posing different questions and we allow the heart to answer. So as I'm taking you through this, it's going to be different because I'm doing a group facilitation. And you can, if you want, say your answers out loud or you can say them silently, however you prefer. But it's an inquiry where you're going within and that the answers are coming forth from a place of stillness, from a place of silence. And you're tapping into an intuition that's beyond the I know mind. So we start with, we're going to look into the thought, I'm not good enough. My first question is it true? Now here you can only answer yes or no. There's no yes, but there's no maybe. You just have to pick one side or the other. Is it true? Yes or no? And then the follow-up question to that, if you answered yes, then we go to question number two. And question number two is, you're not good enough. Can you absolutely know that that is true? And again, the answer is only yes or no. So can you know beyond a doubt for sure that this is true, that you're not good enough? Now I'm taking us through this inquiry, perhaps faster than you would want to be able to really drop within. So if at any point you want to go at a slower pace, then you can go to my website and I have a facilitation there where you can pause it and go at your own pace. So the next question, question number three, is how do you react? What happens when you believe the thought you're not good enough? So see yourself there in that situation, in that specific moment in time where you're not good enough. How are you acting? How are you treating yourself when you believe the thought you're not good enough? What's your inner dialogue? How are you acting towards other people? How do you treat other people when you're not good enough? When you believe the thought that you're not good enough? Do you avoid them? Do you hide? When you believe the thought that you're not good enough, do you get bigger and try to impress other people? How do you act? What are you unable to do when you believe the thought, I'm not good enough? What are you missing out on when you believe the thought, I'm not good enough? What's the benefit? What's the payoff? What do you get out of believing the thought, I'm not good enough?
Now, this one is sometimes a bit tricky because people say, well, how is this serving me in any way? Well, check and see. Does it help you to stay in your comfort zone? You don't have to risk failure or rejection because you just accept this thought, I'm not good enough. What kind of addictions or coping mechanisms surface when you believe the thought, I'm not good enough? So these were all different avenues of how you can explore question number three, where you look into how do I act? How do I react? What effect does this thought have on me? There's a lot of different avenues that we could go into that inquiry, but I'm now going to move on to question number four. So in any good experiment, we see the effect of something, and then we also want to see what it's like when we don't have that stimulus. So for question number four, we're looking at who would I be without the thought? So I want you to hold yourself in that situation, that specific moment in time. And now as you're there, what happens when you cannot think the thought, I'm not good enough? Now be careful to not switch this to all of a sudden you're good enough and that you're acting and you have talents that you didn't have and you're still the same. Everything's the same. The only thing that's different is that you can't have the judgment. You can't have the thought that I'm not good enough. What do you notice? How does it feel in your body when you're without the thought, I'm not good enough? What emotions are you experiencing without the thought, I'm not good enough? How are you treating yourself? How are you treating other people when you're without the thought, I'm not good enough? What are you able to do without the thought, I'm not good enough? So just notice this experience of how you are with the thought and how you are without the thought. Feel the difference in your body, in your emotions, the way that you're showing up. This step right here can be a really powerful tool of who would I be without this thought? When you're having that anxiousness, that fear, the anger, it's a very easy thing to just drop into. And sometimes it takes us longer to go into question number four of who would we be without the thought, especially when we're really attached to the thought. And we're like, it's true. Okay. So the next process, the next step in the work of Byron Katie is you go through the four questions like we just did. And now we're going to go into the turnarounds. So the turnarounds is where we take the original sentence, I'm not good enough. We hold ourselves in that specific moment in time and we slightly turn around the original sentence. So with this one, there are only a few turnarounds that are available. Sometimes there's three, sometimes there's four, there's five. If you want to learn more about all of the extension of the turnarounds, then you can take the course that's for free on my website. For now, we're just going to stay focused on I'm not good enough. We turn it around to the opposite and it becomes I'm good enough. So I'm not good enough becomes I am good enough. And now I want you to find a specific example of how in that situation, you are good enough. And even if it's just a little bit, if it's just like, I showed up, I'm good enough and I showed up. So find one specific example of how you're good enough in that specific situation. And then after you find one, go for two, for three. Having at least one of them coming from that specific situation, if you can find more there, fantastic. Giving yourself time to really sit in it, to feel it. Finding specific examples of how you're good enough. Another turnaround that you can do here, you can take I'm not good enough and you can make it I'm not bad enough. And then you want to find examples of how you're not bad enough. They don't always make perfect sense, but just allow your mind to open and get curious and to go in there. So for each turnaround, you want to find three specific examples. And that is the four questions and the turnarounds, which is known as the work of Byron Katie. So this brings us to a completion of looking at how we can inquire and question our thoughts and our beliefs and how those are influencing our emotions. This is, as I said, has been one of the most transformative tools that I have come across, one of the most effective tools for transformation that I have come across. I would like to pause here and to open up to any questions, as well as to hear what your experience was of going through that inquiry and questioning, I'm not good enough. So are there any questions? And please share, what was your experience of inquiring into I'm not good enough using the work? So I see one question where it said, should we focus on one specific situation? Or sorry, that's the sensation. That's the question from before. Okay.
Everybody's so absorbed, including me, into the journey that you took us into. So yeah. Wow.
Okay. I'm not bad enough resonated more than I'm good enough. Yeah. Sometimes this can be really helpful of taking one where it's easier to go into and going into that first. And then that might be able to open us up into I am good enough. And you'll see that with a lot of different turnarounds that you work with, that there's multiple layers of how it can go deeper and ones that you're willing to accept and other ones that you're not. When you go into that turnaround, it can be good. You want to first go in and try it on. So you just flip it around and be like, is that true? Is it possible that it could be true? And then you can also see, is that as true or even truer than the original statement? So there's a lot of ways that we can go deeper into this inquiry. And I did go through, so I see that going into this feeling of not feeling good enough has been triggering for some. This is something that if you want to go into the inquiry with more time, because we did go through that inquiry quite fast, there is a free helpline. If you go to thework.com, there is a helpline where people will facilitate you through this at your own pace and to be able to go in a way of whatever it is that's coming up for you. And so if you need that support after this call, it's not a 24-hour call, but there are often people online that can support you if you want to go more into this at your own pace and not of how I had moved us through it. So when we move into the ability to say, I'm not good enough, when we remove the ability to say, I'm not good enough, suddenly I took the other person's behavior less personally. Like it was all about them instead of me. Beautiful. Went super deep into a childhood memory. Yeah, one of the questions that we can explore as a sub-question is what memories of the past come up. And that's one where we can get in touch with the roots of what it is that we're thinking and feeling. So being in touch with the core wound. which actually moves me on to the next point that I want to talk about. Mav, how much time do I have left?
We have around 10 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So sometimes we have, well, I would say often, whatever it is that we're feeling and that we're thinking, when we get triggered, it's got roots in our past. And so something that we can do is we can get in touch with, what am I feeling? What am I making this mean? What am I making this mean about me? So we can look at, what is the story I'm telling about other people and about the world? And what is the story that I'm telling about myself? And as we get in touch with that, we can then inquire into, when have I felt this in the past? And so, when have I felt this sensation? When have I felt this emotion? When have I told this story? And as we do that, we allow certain things to come up. Now, sometimes if we have a hard time accessing memories from our past, then I really recommend going into the body and going through all of those descriptive qualities, spending time really landing into the body. Because as you do that, there is a wisdom, there is an intuition, and there is also a memory that exists inside of your body. And so when you do that, there can be memories that come forth that are going to give you insights into roots of pains that have been repressed and that have not been healed. And so by doing that, if I get triggered, my partner triggers me, okay, what am I making this mean? And then I can question that. And then I can also go, when have I felt this way in the past? And then I get in touch with stuff that I haven't processed. And so in that moment, when I'm triggered with my partner, as long as I don't go off into stories of blaming him for how I feel, I have an opportunity to do my own healing in that moment, as well as whatever it surfaced from the past. And these are ways of us to get into the repressed emotion and the core wounds, to bring them to our conscious awareness and to be able to process them and to digest them. And so this can be really helpful. Now, sometimes I've had clients who say, I have been feeling my emotions all weekend long. I think I felt my emotions too much. Now, if that's the experience that you're having, then you're probably not actually feeling the emotion. Instead, you're most likely to be ruminating in the story and telling it over and over again. And as I said, we have a hard time sometimes separating the two. So that's why I started with that point. If you sincerely bring mindfulness into the emotion and experience it, it will change. It will transform. However, you need to go into it without an agenda of, I need to do this so that it will change. It's staying around too long. You go in there with your present moment awareness. You're just there, observing what it is that's happening without any judgment, without trying to change it, being fully present with it. And as you do this, you will dissolve the pains of the past and the fears of the future. You'll be more available for yourself as well as there and present for other people, because you're connected to yourself. You're conscious with what it is that is going on inside of you, what you're carrying, and you're less likely to project that onto somebody else. Now, sometimes when we think about processing our emotions, we think of, like, before, how I used to process my emotions is I would go work out. And then at the end of the workout, I felt fine. And I thought that was great. The thing is that I wasn't actually feeling and digesting the emotion. I was going and distracting myself. I would also distract myself by having a conversation with somebody else. Now, that is one way of how I can process my emotions. And it's important that we also bring in the emotional body experience and not just the mental verbal. Again, I'm bringing all of these things into connection and working with it. So this, I'm going to start to wrap up to summarize what it is that I've talked about. There is an importance of feeling the emotion and experiencing it in the body, in the physical sensations. So wanting to identify your emotion, developing your emotion vocabulary. There's a current emotion vocabulary list that's out there that I like, which is through the Gottman Institute. So you can find it on their Instagram. You can find it on their website. And then within a week or so, I will try to put one up on my website, where I'm also giving you some insight of how to separate the emotion from the story, from the perception, as that is something that so many of us have a hard time doing. And then also I will put something up within this next week of some tips on how to identify that physical sensation. So that meditation that I took you through in the beginning of going in and finding the size and the shape and the texture of having those descriptive qualities so that you can get better attuned to the physical sensation to really be present with it, because that's how you digest your emotion. So we have the emotion part in the physical body, and then we have questioning the thoughts and inquiring into the beliefs that we are feeling, that we are believing, the thoughts that we are believing that are creating stress and disconnection and pain, and to be able to inquire into them. One of the best ways I have found is the work of Byron Katie, but there's a lot of different ways that you can break that down and do shortcuts, like looking at, who am I with this thought? Who would I be without this thought? Or going into the turnarounds, flipping it around and finding examples. If you go into the turnarounds, it's important that you find the examples, because the examples will elicit an emotional experience, and our subconscious is reprogrammed with emotion. It was programmed with emotion, and it will be reprogrammed with emotion. So it's not enough to just flip the sentence around and see the turnaround. Land yourself in the specific examples. And the more specific, the more you're going to feel them. And that's going to be integrated into your being, into your body. And to go into with curiosity, with acceptance, allowing whatever's there to be there without judging it, and having compassion the entire way, of not judging yourself for feeling a certain thing or thinking a certain thought, but observing it and seeing it and holding yourself in that compassion. We are all doing the best that we can with the tools that we've been given and the experiences that we've had and the defenses that we have created. And so to have compassion for yourself in these moments as you're going through this process. Okay, so I have a couple of moments to take any questions if you have. I see the question. Yeah. Okay. How do you stop yourself from repeating the story over and over again so you can find the emotion? I would say both of these. One is you want to get in touch with the story. So if the story is one that is being repeated over and over again, it's got roots in other places. So in the work, there are some worksheets and there's methods for how to really pull out all of the stuff that is behind that story. It's something that's called a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. And so I would encourage you to, and if you want to speak more about specifically the story, then I can speak specifically to your situation instead of generally. Well, what I would say is to go and find those places where that story showed up, and you write a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet on it, which is going to pull out all different kinds of thoughts and beliefs, as well as insights for how to move beyond it. And in this, when an emotion comes up, when you're in the work, to really drop in and to feel that, to experience it, to create space for it. The work is something that's not just a mental process. It's a fully embodied process. So you want to be in touch with the emotion, with the sensation. For me, it has shifted things on a subconscious level when I've gone in and I've done that experience in a very embodied way. And so here I would say to fill out the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet is one way to be able to really go into that. And as I said, there's a free helpline that can support you in that. In my online course, there's an entire module that takes you through how to do a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. Okay, any other questions? Mom, did I miss
question.
One?
There's another question here in the Q&A. It says that I find that I have emotions, but I cannot put words to it, even when I have the feeling real in front of me. So any suggestions you have to get better at discovering emotions?
Great. You don't need an emotion all the time. You don't need to label the emotion all the time. Some of the feelings that we have are pre-verbal. And so it's going to be really hard to land in that emotion. If this is something that you recognize that you have over, like constantly, that you have a hard time putting the emotions, then I would say to have that emotion wheel around you all the time. And to pull it out, maybe to put some reminders on your phone throughout the day. Of being, and the reminder goes off, so you pull out your emotion wheel. What am I feeling right now? And you go through and you identify it. You don't just use it when you're struggling. You develop the emotion vocabulary, both in the positive and negative, which I don't like necessarily using those words around emotions, but the enjoyable and the challenging ones. Let's go there. Another, if you don't want to have reminders on your phone and you don't have that ability to be able to identify the emotion throughout the day, then you, at the end of the day, you can go and say, okay, what was I experiencing? What kind of emotions did I feel between 8 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the morning? And what did I feel between 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the evening? and then you start to do this every day, you will develop more awareness around your emotional vocabulary. And if it's only for a specific situation and you're having a hard time identifying an emotion, that's okay. Be with the sensation. As I said, sometimes things are pre-verbal, so they're not going to be able to come out into words, and you don't need to get caught up on being able to put it into words, but instead you can just be with the sensation and go from there. And sometimes as you go more into that physical sensation, like we did at the beginning of this session, then you might become more attuned to what is the emotion and is there a belief that is connected with it. Okay. So that is the end of this session. Mom, is there anything else that I should speak to just now?
I'm myself just absorbing all this valuable information that you have shared with us, you know, all these tools. And yeah, I was wondering myself that since we have still a couple of minutes to reflect upon that, how even the response to a particular situation, say an emotion, it could be different for me on different days in a month. I've been reflecting on that as well, how, you know, the external factors also change my response and how I'm feeling, what emotion I'm feeling to a specific, say, a trigger situation. That's also really interesting for me. So yeah, thank you for bringing those tools of awareness to let us reflect into that.
Great.
And we will be sharing all the resources here. The amazing tools, as Justine mentioned, and Stacey, our tech host, has been putting them on into the chat. And we have shared Justine's website. There's also a private Facebook group for the Intimacy and Relationship channel for us to have any discussions or to process any thoughts with each other. There's a coffee breakout room just after this chat. So if you guys want, you can now catch up over there as well. There's a next session coming up with Embodied Forum with Ellie. And we will also encourage you and request you to find a way to have an access to the library. It's such an amazing resource. Talks like these, as much as it's amazing to get this information, as much it's amazing to watch it over and over again to be able to reflect of what we have gathered, of what we have picked up and learned from these amazing resources. So also it's a gesture of gratitude from all of us, and it enables so many more people to be able to access these resources. Justine, I will ask you to share with us in the end one top tip that you use for yourself or that you want to share with us to stay embodied.
One top tip. Okay, I would probably say that, as I said at the beginning, the mind, the body, and the emotions are intricately connected. And when we honor this connection and this loop that goes between them, that we can develop a resiliency and also the ability to flow with life.
That's so precisely and well said. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Justine. And thank you everyone for joining us today. Make sure you get all the resources from the chat. They are already posted there. Because once the session goes off, you will lose access to that. Thank you again, Justine, for being with us and sharing all these resources and valuable information and wisdom.
That was a lot of fun. So thank you. I hope it was helpful, and feel free to reach out if there are any questions.